Okay, Super Bowl Sunday, not perfect. Things are looking pretty good. People should be here in about 7 minutes.
Hi, Oscar. I thought I'd come a little early to see if you needed any help.
Oh, well, thanks, Cindy. Things are looking okay. People should be here in about 6 minutes now. Now we need to hope everybody remembers their food. Yeah. What did you bring?
I brought pop, several kinds. I wanted to make sure I got what people wanted.
Hi, Cindy. Oscar. The pregame's already started.
Hi, Andrew. So, what food did you bring?
Brought pizza. Already paid. Should be here about now. Oh, I think that's it. Cindy, could you get that?
Sure.
What team are you favoring?
Patriots. America, Patriots. Get it? Who are you for?
Well, statistically speaking, the teams are pretty close, so it's hard to say.
Pizza's here.
Cindy, who are you going for?
The Falcons, you know, but the Patriots are also really good. It's just most of my friends are rooting for the Falcons, so, you know, I figured I'd root for them and support my friends.
Hey, where's Eddie? He hasn't shown up yet. Where do you think he is?
Mm-hmm. Last one, as usual.
Woohoo! Falcons for the win! Let's go!
Hey, woo-hoo! Eddie! The party's here.
Well, it's clear who you're rooting for.
Well, I also root for the commercials, but dude, Matt Ryan is so legit. I just want to see him crush Tom Brady.
Hey, I was a quarterback in high school, and there is no contesting the greatest quarterback of all time. And we'll just see.
Hey, guys, let's all get along. Eddie, what did you bring?
Here. Oh, I forgot the dip. Oh, well.
Chips? And they're opened already?
Yeah, they're really good. Oh, hey, what's this?
Oh, that's a spinach artichoke dip that I made with toasted baguettes.
Okay, this will go great with the chips.
Hey, the kickoff's starting.
Oh, no! Are you kidding?
All
this
right.
Is a bummer.
Here we go. Oscar, you go check the breakers, see if there's one out. I'm going to go check, make sure the power's out in the rest of the neighborhood.
I could serve up the pizza. What do you guys want to drink?
I'll have a Mountain Dew.
I'll take a Coke with ice if we got it.
Water. I have some filtered water in the fridge.
Water? It's the Super Bowl. Give him a root beer.
Oh, it was the breaker.
All right, back in business. I get the remote. Woohoo!
Hey, turn it up.
Hey, Oscar. Thanks so much for setting up the place for the game. This is really great.
Yeah, thanks, Cindy, and thanks, Andrew, for thinking of checking the breaker. TV's back on.
Thanks, Cindy, for always taking care of us. You know, Eddie, you make me feel like I'm at the game.
Well, you know, when you put all of us together, I'd say we make a pretty good Super Bowl, huh?
Woohoo! In case you are having trouble identifying with the personality types, we tried to give you a hint with their names. We had, Eddie? Eddie was the... Andrew was the... Oscar was the... And Cindy was, yeah, okay. All the O's picked that up right off the bat. I knew exactly what was going on. I want to. I have something I want to share this morning. But I want to talk a little bit about our last week's. Oh, I forgot my. those four the quadrant ones. But I'll just look at them online here. I want to explain a little bit about Last Sunday, people were having a little bit of difficulty when we had the A and the E, and we said, let's look at the quadrants up here. We had A-E-C-O, and then we talked about the similarities. We were trying to talk about similarities between an A and an E, or similarities between an E and a C, or similarities between an O and a C, or similarities between an A and an O. Let's go to our first overhead. Let's go to the first overhead. Remember, an A and an E, somebody thought this is how they combated one another, but no, an A and an E are both. Both of these guys are similar in the fact that they're extroverted and active. O's and C's are similar in their introverted and reflective. E's and C's are similar in their people-oriented. A's and O's are similar in that they're more task-oriented. Next one. We talk about A's and E's are hot, expressive. They have fluctuating moods and emotions. That's the A and the E. O and C are dispassionate, repressive, a little smoldering. They hold it inside a little bit more. E's and C's are both sensitive and sentimental. O's and A's are a little insensitive sometimes and not really very sentimental at all. Next. A's and E's have a higher level of risk-taking. Let's just go do it. Let's go do it. Let's go do it. O's and C's, a little bit more, think it through, wait a second, let's be a little more cautious, if you will, in it. E's and C's are a little more lower level of self-discipline. A's and O's, a little higher level of self-discipline. Next one. A's and E's, more present to future-oriented. O's and C's, more past to present-oriented. E's and C's tend to forgive offenses and release and move on quicker. A's and O's tend to dwell on offenses, be a little bit bitter. They take a little more revenge. They take it a little more personal. Next one. A's and E's are non-reflective. They're more reactive. O's and C's, very reflective, very contemplative. They think things through, care a little bit more. A's and E's are more talkative. They're the ones who are going to dominate the conversation a little easier. O's and C's, less talkative, but they have a lot more to say because they're usually a lot deeper thinkers. A's and E's tend to have more friends and shallower friendships. They're a little bit more everybody, a little bit with everybody. O's and C's tend to have maybe fewer close friends. They're a little more deeper in their friendship, again, because they're a more deeper personality. Is that last one? Okay, leave that one up there. That's why I was trying to say, if your primary personality is an A and your secondary personality trait is a C, see how they're cross-quadrant there? Because A's and E's are similar in some things. A's and O's are similar in some things. So the A's and O's and A's and C's are similar. E's and A's and E's and C's are similar. C's and E's and C's and O's are similar. So you have similar traits. So when you go cross quadrant, it becomes a little bit more difficult. You're a little bit more opposite, a lot opposite. And that's why it can be a little frustrating thinking, well, if I'm an AC, that's kind of cross-quadrant. Remember, if you were in that category, we asked to take a longer test, a longer profile that we had. But again, you still could be that. We're not trying to say that you can't. I just want you to make sure that that's what it is, because there'll be some conflicts between those two personality styles because they really are cross. And remember also we talked about that usually when we get married, we marry crosswise, it seems like, because we appreciate that trait in the other person. And remember that in marriage, don't try to make your mate what you are. Remember, you married them to enjoy who they are. Let them be who they are, but understand your strengths, understand your weaknesses, and work them out in the power and the presence of the Lord. Remember that not every topic there is going to fit, not every word we put on those things. It's just a tool. It's just a tool that we're using. And we're not trying to make you into something or make you into a personality type. We're just trying to understand them so you can understand how God has made you. Okay, enough of that. Let me get on to what I have today. You were made on purpose for purpose by God. By God. You know, both teams are playing in the Super Bowl are there on purpose. They're both there on purpose. They didn't say, hey, let's get together, let's play some football, and we've been playing, and it's been fun. 20 weeks later, went, oh my gosh, look where we are. How did we get here? They didn't think that way, right? They didn't just end up there. They planned this. Every team planned it, but not every team got there, maybe. But every team planned on being there. They planned it. They worked for it. They thought about it. They dreamed about it. They've been the driving force of both teams is to get to where they are right now because they have a purpose. They're not there by accident. They're there by purpose. The coaches had a purpose. The players had a purpose. They denied themselves things and worked hard, all of those things, because they had a purpose in mind. Purpose drives us. Purpose propels us. And I want us to understand our purpose in the Lord. That you were made on purpose, for purpose, by God. On purpose, for purpose, by God. God didn't just go, well, I'm pouring these guys, this oozy stuff, into this mold, and all of a sudden things are popping out. Whoa, wow, look at a guy came out. Oh, wow, a girl came out. Oh my God. You didn't surprise God. When you were put on the face of this earth, you didn't surprise God. He didn't go, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? All right, he didn't do that. He wasn't surprised by you. How can you surprise a God who knows everything? You know, you can't surprise him ever, because he already knows it. He sees the end from the beginning. God is not surprised. He is intentional. He intentionally made you on purpose. He intentionally made you on purpose. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his, say it with me, purpose. You're called. Everyone here is called. You have a calling from God. He has a purpose for you. You're not an accident. You're not an accident. Purpose. Purpose. Protheus. The word purpose here, it means a setting forth, a proposal, intentional. And this is interesting. The definition of this word, if you were to pull it out in Strong's, will say this: the showbread in the temple as exposed before God. This word purpose includes this concept of the showbread that was before God. The showbread that was before God in the temple. On the table of showbread, we have a picture, I think. The table of showbread was kind of on the right-hand side as you came in. We have the menorah, the altar of incense, and then on the right-hand side is this table of showbread. In the tabernacle. The tabernacle of Moses, and then also in the temple. In the temple that David put together. This is there. And it was very important to God. This table that the showbread was on was made of acacia wood. And it was covered over with pure gold. Wood speaks of humanity. Gold speaks of holiness. And there were 12 loaves of bread on that table. The 12 loaves represented the 12 tribes of Israel. It represented all of God's people. They baked the bread and put it out for 1 week, and at the end of the week, they ate it in the holy place. And every week, there'd be a new, fresh loaf of bread that would be out before the Lord. Showbread. They call it the bread of his presence, because it was always out before the Lord, and the Lord saw them in his presence. You see, purpose comes as we are before the Lord. Purpose comes, true purpose and meaning for your life comes when you're out before the Lord. Your purpose is for the Lord. You may be in a secular job. You may be doing all sorts, but God has a purpose for you designed from him. A heavenly purpose in being a father, in being a husband, in being a worker, in being a mom, in being a mother, in being a worker, in being a friend. God has a purpose and a destiny for your life. It's not just get up, run the rat race, get home, get up, run the rat race, get home, get up, run the rat race, and get home. You're not a rat and you're not in a rat race. You're a human. You're a person. A person that he has purpose for. Destiny. You may feel like, wow, I'm running around, Okay, fine. But God has purpose in the run. God has purpose in what you're doing. God has purpose in what you're saying. God has purpose in the people you come in contact with. You can touch them for his purpose, for his power, for his presence. Are you an example of Jesus Christ in your workplace? An example of Jesus Christ in your home? Example of Jesus Christ in your shopping? Example of Jesus Christ in your driving? Let's not dwell on that one. I always think, well, how would Jesus do this? Well, he would have been on a donkey, so he wouldn't have been in this thing. Ephesians 1:11 says this, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined," meaning purpose. I've got a destiny for you. I've got something I want to describe to you that's going to happen. I have future. I have plans. I have vision. So God is saying about your life, according to the purpose of him. We go through life and think about, what do I want to be? What do I want to do? How am I going to get there? Blah, 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 and all of this stuff. And God's going, whoa, wait a second. Can I get involved in the plans? As a matter of fact, I have plans. Sometimes we're busy about doing and putting our own careers together and our own stuff together and all of that together. We forget about the fact that you've got a purpose. You've got a destiny. You've got a reason. And God wants you to come to understand and to know what it is. Not that you can't do great things out there in the world and be a great entrepreneur and all of those things. But don't miss out on your primary purpose that God has for you. The purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Our purpose is to be connected to God and do what he's destined us to do. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own," say with me, "purpose." "To his purpose and grace, which was given to us." How was it given to us? In Christ Jesus. When you came to Christ, he's saying, well, now you found purpose. Now you found destiny. Now you found reason for being here, because I have something for you. And now, walking in Christ, you become aware of it. We start looking to God for stuff. We start asking God as we're moving through life, rather than pre-Christ, where we're just doing our own stuff. We don't listen to nobody. We just listen to that inner drummer boy inside. Come to Christ, all of a sudden, we're starting to listen to his spirit. We're starting to listen to his plans and purposes and destinies for our life. And life takes on so much more meaning. But we have to know, what's his purpose? When we came to Jesus Christ, I love what it says here. Before time began, God had purpose and destiny for you before time began. Before time began, he knew that you'd be sitting here. Taylor, where are you? Taylor, raise your hand. Before time began, hear me. God knew that this day would come up. God knew he was going to put you on the face of this earth. And God knew he was going to orchestrate situations and circumstances to bring you to a point where your heart would be open and want Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when that point happens, he gives you purpose, he gives you destiny, and then he asks you, "Listen to me. I have calling. I have words I want to speak to you. I have things I want you to do. Listen to my voice. Listen to my leading. Grow in me. Come to understand me. Walk with me." And he has destiny etched out before time began. Taylor, before time began, he knew this point would be here. He loves you. Oh my gosh. He has so much for you. Enjoy. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Enjoy. Enjoy. We're made on purpose. You know, there's a difference, you know, when kids are playing and stuff. There's a difference between, "Bobby hit me. Bobby hit me. I got over there. Bobby hit me." And then when you say, Mom, Dad, Bobby hit me on purpose. Bobby hit me on purpose. All of a sudden, we have motive now, right? Before it was accidental, now it's purposeful. Now there's reason. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. By the way, I forgot. All of our kids are having to stay with us. I did something purposeful. I brought some candy. Where's our candy? Bring it over here. Where's all of our kids that have to be here today in the thing? Let me see some of this. If you're a kid and you're in here, yeah. Come on up here. We have candy, okay? Come on. All right, get it. Come on up. And this. And then. Doesn't matter what age you are. Come on up. Come on up. There's some of that too. Grab some, whatever. Go and get it. All right. Pay no attention to the children. All right. Leave some for the adults that are a little bashful and don't want to come up. They'll come up afterwards. All right. Back to your seats, kiddos. Oh, there we go. Mom, get it. Those Rolos are great. All right, grab. They can't carry anymore. This is called abundance. All right. Head back. Head back. Head back. Head back. Head back. Oh, yeah. Come on. Come on. Yes, there you go. The orderly one's coming. Good. Hallelujah. Grab as much as you can get. Anybody else? If you're a kid, just keep wander up here. Wander up during the message. That's fine. We love kids around here. I'm a grandpa. I got 11 grandkids. Hallelujah. I'm shooting for 50, so my kids better get busy. Oh, there we go. Anybody who's a kid at heart, please come. Anybody who's a kid at heart, if you like Rolos, and I love Rolos, please save a couple for me. Look at it. There we go. Hey, right there, a kid at heart. This is going to deal with your pride. You can tell people who have no pride. No pride. Just, yeah, come on up. Come on up. Grab them. Yes, grab them up. Grab them. Grab them. And then we need to work on shoes for you, okay? Because she has no shoes. Lady has no shoes. Someone give her shoes. She just, look at this. Whoa. Whoa. There we go. Yeah. Hey. Awesome. There. Hallelujah. On purpose. He hit me on purpose. Motivation. God made you on purpose. Motivation. Behind creating you. Because he has destiny. And then he designed all your personality type. And then he designed all of these spiritual gifts. And then he designed all of these strengths inside of you. And all these life experiences that were all going to go together to create you that nobody else is. To do what only you can do. What only you can do. I can't speak to all your friends. I have no platform to speak from. You do. Taylor, you have a platform. God's given you a platform. And you know what? He's not going to just bombard them, but slow and you're just going to, every once in a while, they're going to go, what's going on with you? Why are you doing it? And I found something. It's changing my life. And they're going to start seeing that your life is starting to change. We're not saying it's perfect. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to fall down, get back up, and we're going to dust you off. There's going to be some things. There's going to be some, that's all right. We're going to get back up. We're going to keep moving. We're going to keep moving. But people are going to go, whoa, you act differently. You respond differently. You think differently. I get all bummed about this because Bobby doesn't love me anymore, and blah, 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 and na, 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 na. But you handle it differently. I have a different purpose. Christ is in there. Christ is in there. And you know what? Taylor, people are going to come and know Christ because of you. Amen. One of the reasons I like people to come up here and declare that they receive Christ is because somebody else out in the audience probably needs to do the same thing that you just did. And hopefully they get enough guts to go, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it on purpose. I'm going to give my life to Christ because it's not working so good myself. On purpose. God made you on purpose. He had a motivation behind it. And let me say this and hear this, and I think I put it on the screen. You are not an accident waiting to happen. You are not an accident waiting to happen, but you are a purpose waiting to be fulfilled. Taylor, your purpose, waiting to be fulfilled. You're not just an accident, but made on purpose with personality giftings and strengths, handcrafted by God, not made on some computer or in some assembly line, handcrafted, custom made, not just made in the good old USA, you're made in the heavenlies before time began. He thought of you. Before time began, he designed. Before time began, he knew you would be here today. Purpose, the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists, were created at the pleasure of the King and for the pleasure of the King. What is the purpose of man? According to the Bible, in 1646, Westminster Shorter Catechism. We used to call our Bible Foundations classes catechism because that's what it was called, the method of teaching. But in our day and age, it's, you know, we think more Bible study. Back in 1646, there was this catechism, and they did it to bring the Church of England to a greater conformity with the Church of Scotland, and they were trying to figure out how to do this. And there was a longer form for more scholarly folks, and they had the shorter one. Consisted of 107 questions, kind of a question-answer format to try to help us come to understand these principles: God, sin, Christ, the Ten Commandments, baptism, communion, and the Lord's Prayer. They put this together back in 1646 to make sure people understood and knew why. And today, our heart here at Living Faith Fellowship is to make sure you know why. Why? Why are you saved? What does it mean? Why? 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 Because you need to know the why in order to give it away to somebody else. If not, it's just a what. And if it's just a what doesn't change people's lives, a why does. What's the motivation? What's are just, I do it because I'm a robot. Why? Why? And the first question is this. What is the chief end of man? Why are we here? What's our purpose? And here's the answer, broken into two parts. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Think of that. We are to glorify God. That's your purpose. Man is to glorify God. Isaiah 43:7 says this. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my, what is it? Glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Why? For my glory. The word glory, kabod, it means weight. It has the sense of you can feel it, you can sense it. Sometimes in worship, when you feel, sometimes the back of your hair may stand up, or you're experiencing something with God, or during the prophet when he moved, you kind of wonder, and there's this sense of awe or movement or shaking or whatever. There's this overwhelming emotion. There's this God showing up. If God were to show up right now, and we all knew he was here, and he just dropped right here, not just like Glendala, whatever her name was, out of The Wizard of Oz, and but just showed up. First of all of us would be thinking about, oh my gosh, am I ready? And we'd probably fall and hit the ground looking at his glory. We'd be going, hey, high five. I'm sure we'd probably do that after we had our first of all inner counter of hitting the ground in the presence of Almighty God. Glory. God showing up. God showing up. It's this word splendor or copiousness. Copious means large in quantity or number or abundant or plentiful, having or yielding an abundant supply, exhibiting abundance or fullness. You see, when God shows up, we are overwhelmed. We're whelmed, but we're overwhelmed. God's glory is part of his overwhelming. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that God created man and that he has created him for his glory. Therefore, the ultimate purpose of man, according to the Bible, is to simply glorify God. And let me say this. We don't give him glory because you don't have any to give. You don't have any glory. Oh, who I am, woo, I give to you, Lord. God goes, not impressed. Sinful man, not impressed. We have no glory. Only God contains glory. When we talk about give him glory, we're letting him know how glorious he is. Part of what it looks like to glorify God is to acknowledge who God is as our creator, for starters, and to praise and to worship him as such, and then to begin to conduct your life according to his plan and his purpose. Be willing to say no to yourself and yes to God, and live differently and move differently and act differently and talk differently is part of receiving and giving him glory, because you know who he is and how awesome he is. And in knowing that, it changes your life as he gives you the grace and the power and the strength to do all of that. We get back to him, thankfulness and excitement and our allegiance. He's our Lord. I follow him. I do what he says. Why? He's my Lord. He's not my Santa Claus. I'm his servant. He's my Lord. The glory, it filled the tabernacle. It filled the temple. The glory was in the cloud that followed Moses and the children of Israel. We'll be reading about this as they leave Egypt. And all of a sudden, there's this cloud of this pillar of fire. And there's this cloud. And they both follow him. And you see, it's the presence of God. Something supernatural. It filled up the temple. Glory was there. When the shepherds, New Testament, when the shepherds are hearing the news and the angel of the Lord comes and the glory shone about, they were overwhelmed. God showing up. His glory. And a response to that usually to hit the deck is to lift our arms, to let him know how awesome he is, and that we'll do what he wants. And we're so thankful to be a part of his family. Thankful to have a purpose. We fulfill our purpose of glorifying God by living our lives in relationship and faithful service to him. The glory of the Lord is when God shows up. And the glory just seems to drip off of him. And we let him know. I'm so thankful. He took this kid who didn't know what he was doing. He came into his life at a time he didn't think he needed God. But he desperately did. And then he changed his life. Changed everything. I'm so glad he did. I fought a lot of times. And I still do. But oh God, I want to be a part of his glory. I want to let him know how thankful I am for his involvement in my life. In our fallen state, sin separates us from God and makes it impossible to glorify him on our own. But through Jesus Christ's sacrifice, our relationship with God is reconciled. Our sins are forgiven and no longer creates this barrier between God and us. The more we get to know our Creator, the more we love him, and the better we understand who we are and what our purpose is. We were created to bring him glory. God has unique plans and purposes for each and every person, but we can know that. Whatever those plans look like, they will ultimately result in his glory. Glory, glory. He wants to cover the earth as the waters do. Glory is God's plan. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the, say with me, glory of God. Glory of God. Believers are called to give God glory by what we say and what we do. Are you? It doesn't mean that we are adding to the glory God already has. It means that we are revealing the glory of God through the Word and through our words, our lifestyle, our behavior that needs to see how much Jesus loves them, cares about them, wants them and all their filth. No, come, come. Don't get cleaned up. No, I'll wash. Come, just come, just come, just come. But I'm not right. No, just come. He loves us so much. He sees right through the filth into the purpose and destiny he has for us. Second part of this, I'm going to bring this to a close quickly. Man is to enjoy God for how long? When do we start? Now. We're supposed to give God glory and enjoy God forever. It says here in John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be so-so. How much joy do you have? Full on, baby. John 16:24, until now you ask nothing in my name, ask and you will receive that your joy may be. You know the interesting thing about enjoyment? I always see enjoyment as the result of doing something, right? But this is the directive. We just enjoy. Not a what happened. What? It's just the object. We are to enjoy God forever. It will be our job description. Our job description. And our benefit. Not just a benefit. It's our job description. Enjoy Him. Ah, I'm not just enjoying God, man. Just enjoying Him. God is God. God, you're so... Just enjoying you. Enjoy Him. God created you on purpose. For purpose. Glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. Lord, we thank You that You're so amazing. Thanks for being so good. Bless us and help us, Lord, as we continue to walk out this idea of knowing that we're destined with purpose. And let us enjoy You to the fullest. Lord, I want everybody everywhere. When you come to church, you should laugh. You should enjoy it. When you're following and walking in the presence of God, you should enjoy it. When you're doing what He's called you to do, you should enjoy it. Yeah, there are difficulties. Yeah, there's difficulties. There's tough things. We're going to fall down. We're going to skin our knees. We're going to get back up. But God, we want to enjoy this walk. We want to have fun in it with purpose and destiny and enjoyment. And oh, God, You're so good. Help us, Lord, this week to walk with a new sense of purpose for You. We love You, we bless You, and we thank You, Lord, for being so good. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everybody said? If you don't know the Lord, come on up here. We'll pray. Maybe you need, like Taylor, to come up here today and just say, I want to give my life back to the Lord. Maybe you gave it to Him, you took it back. Maybe you need to recommit your life. Come. Don't leave. He loves you. I know you messed up. I know you tried. Just come. Maybe you need prayer for something. Come, they'll pray for you. We need to spend some time talking to the Lord. Do that. Next week, I'll be gone. I'm at a conference, and then I'm speaking at a church in Chicago for a friend of mine. After that, we'll start again. But we have a great message. Dan Fitzgerald is going to have a great message for that Sunday. And then we're going to be, after that, though, we're going to start with our spiritual gifts in our 301 class again. Just come. We'll give you all the notes here. Just show up. If you're in the middle of it, don't worry. We'll get you all caught up. Just come, okay? That'll be Sunday. And then from there, we're going to talk about our strengths. And then from there, we're going to talk about our life experiences and how that has shaped us and molded us. And what do we do with some tough things that have happened? How do we deal with that? So it's going to be good. And whoever you're rooting for, and hopefully you're rooting for the right team, we're all rooting for the Lord Jesus Christ and His purpose and His destiny for all of us. God bless you. Enjoy the game.